From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 8th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Just before Christmas, the Lower Hudson News published a map of gun permit holders in two New York counties. The map included names and addresses of permit holders and was published in response to the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut, the week before. Most local readers, and even those who viewed the map from afar, have criticized the paper for its actions. We'll look at the controversy and what can be learned after a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions.
Now let's just start off with the timeline of what happened. December 22nd of last year, the Lower Hudson Journal News, which is a Gannett-owned newspaper, published a gun map showing the names and addresses of those who hold a gun permit for a pistol or revolver in Westchester and Rockland counties. Now, the data came as a result of a Freedom of Information request. And one of the counties that was requested, Putnam County, refused to provide the data. Right from the outset, the gun owners whose names were published were not happy. They felt like they had been outed. Others claimed that the map put people in danger, particularly retired and active police officers who have gun permits because they have guns. Still others argued the map enabled the theft of guns or encouraged burglaries where guns were not documented at particular addresses. Activism began. A blogger posted the names, addresses, and other information about the authors of the article and other newspaper staff, hoping to make them see how it felt to be publicly outed in that way. The paper continues to stand behind the decision to publish the map, even though it has had threats via email, has hired private security guards, even got some white powder delivered to the office, which turned out to be harmless. Things are starting to turn a little bit more active in the political world. The Rockland County clerk said lawmakers are pushing for legislation in Albany that would make future attempts to publish gun data difficult or impossible. And he spoke of a bill that would make pistol owner data confidential and searchable only by law enforcement. Other politicians are calling for a ban on assault weapons. There's a proposed program to distribute free cable locks to all legal gun owners. And there's a variety of other discussions going on locally and at the state level in New York and, frankly, all across the country. Now, I should say that other efforts to keep gun ownership data secret in New York have actually failed. So that has been tried before. So with that little whirlwind tour, let's start out with maybe the hardest question, which is, should the paper have published the map as it did with names and addresses accessible?
Well, I think the basic question, Adina, is this responsible journalism? Because you have a geographically referenced, openly public database with what is rightfully controversial and personal information, does it mean that it should be published? It was there. The information was obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. I think the issue before the newspaper was that the readers were outraged at the shooting, and many across the country wondered how this individual in Newtown, Connecticut, obtained a weapon but did not have a permit. And as it turned out, his mother had the permit, and he took her gun. So therefore, the newspaper believed that the public had a right to know about gun ownership in their community. So I think there are two issues that come to mind, in particular for those of us in mapping. And I think it resonated with the people who saw the map. Number one, when you look at that map of the distribution of gun owners, the volume is visually depicted on the map. And I think that startled people. The second issue is I think that the ability to click and learn the name and address of the owner, you know, this type of personal information in open view that the gun owner may or may not have known was available also was somewhat startling. So do you want to know who owns a deadly weapon? We know they exist. We just don't want to talk about that they exist and where they are. So I think it presented that kind of information to people that even though it's publicly available and even though you could get a listing, and this has always been the issue with maps, right? You can publish a list. It's not quite as impactful as showing it on a map.
Okay, well, you brought up a lot of really important issues, but you didn't actually give your opinion as to whether the paper should have done it or not.
I'm on the side of I think that this was an issue before the public, and I have no problem with them publishing the map.
I got to say, I'm also on the side of the paper. I realize this is a sensitive issue. I realize this is publicly accessible data. You brought up a good point, which is that a lot of these gun owners may not have been aware that when they got that gun permit, that, in fact, was public data. And maybe that's something that needs to be changed. I can't say. Mm. I also want to raise the issue about newspapers being responsible for showing things that are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And as you point out, there's a very big difference between publishing a list or publishing even the numbers of gun permits per county than there is making a map. Now, the one suggestion that I heard, and I thought this was quite wise, was what if they just published the map of the dots but didn't have the names or addresses?
Mm-hmm.
Would that have achieved the purpose without raising all of these personal information issues?
Well, the only thing that it would have revealed was the name. I think by somewhat of an inference, you could assume the address. The map was pretty detailed. If you only published the dots on the map, you could still see more or less the location of the house. It became personal when the names were attached to that, and that's where I think some of the controversy. But I don't know if this is so much different than records of home ownership.
Or, you know, who have car licenses.
Well, exactly. And I think the detractors of the gun map cite that burglars can now look at a map and find where the guns are and where they are not. Well, would not parcel value data offer the same incentive to thieves? I mean, there's a lot of information right now about personal information that is publicly available, some that we post on social media websites that don't seem to get the same attention. But gun laws and ownership in this country are fiercely debated because it's of a perceived assault on the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment.
And I got to say, I find this so weird that people are using the term, you know, we're turning these gun owners into victims, you know, and I'm thinking, no, these are law-abiding citizens who have gone through the process and gotten the gun. So they're, at one level, upstanding members of society. Whether I would choose to do that or you would choose to do that is a whole other thing. But they have chosen to do that and followed the law.
Yeah, so it goes back to the point that many people are asking was this responsible journalism to make this information public? And I just think there are so many other examples of things that are public that either the newspaper finds out or, again, as we post ourselves. If we had posted the fact that we were a gun owner on Facebook because we hunted deer or whatever, people wouldn't be as outraged. But the fact is that you could very easily trace that individual back to a name and an address, and there would not be the outrage that we're seeing at this point.
Right, and I think from a cartographic perspective and a geographic perspective, the big issue here was they put all of that data in context,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Which is what a map does, and that's when people freak out.
Go back to my initial point, which is I think when you see the volume of gun owners, that's startling to people. You know, whether you zoom in or out on that map, there's a lot of people that own guns. And I don't think people understood that.
No, and I've heard several suggestions that this was activism on the part of the paper, and they were critical of that, I have to say. I didn't read it that way. It was activism in the sense of making visible that which is not visible.
It is a stark punch in the face to people who are very upset about the incidents in Newtown, Connecticut, that the people that own guns are all around us, and we think that many people think that guns are the problem. So whether you believe that to be true or not, it really is a matter of, I didn't know where the guns were, now I know where the guns are, and I'm impacted by that. I'm startled at the number. I didn't know. And so I think, as you pointed out, publishing something that was previously concealed is a part of journalism that raises a lot of issues, but that is the job of the newspaper.
Right. And interestingly, a number of news outlets went to professors of journalism to ask about this situation. CBS News talked to Hub Brown, who's a journalism professor at Syracuse, and he said, and I quote, "Mapping-based journalism is a big trend right now, but we have to be very careful about the types of information that we are going to publish here. In this case, I think the newspaper has gone a little bit too far in terms of publishing information that actually stigmatizes people," unquote. And that term stigmatizes, again, this is a map of law-abiding citizens some level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that this gentleman is from Syracuse made me immediately think, well, great, they talked to a journalism professor. Did they talk to anybody who's a geographer or a cartographer about this particular way of sharing that information?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's an appropriate question that we should be asking. And two, is it time for the visualization community, the cartography community, the geography community to come forward and talk about what our responsibility is here? Because clearly, I mean, I don't exactly know how they made that Google map. I assume it's Fusion Table driven. I just assume that. As we've been discussing over the years, it's easier and easier to put the dots on the map. And that's what these folks did. So do we need to jump in as the people who worry about such things and have it make a statement?
My feeling is no. I don't think there is a need for our profession to respond. Does the hammer profession respond every time a burglar uses one to break in a house? I mean, the map was a tool to reveal information. It was just that. It's nothing more than the medium that it conveyed. It's like a photograph. A photograph is a medium. A map is a medium. This is just information. You know, you don't go after the photographer who took a picture of a dead body on the street after a shooting.
Except that maybe you do. There was that whole controversy about the fellow who took the picture of the person being pushed off the train platform.
The train platform, yeah. But I just don't see that this is one area that we respond to. Or if so, we're going to be called on the table to respond to everything that we depict on a map. And I don't know if this is one of those instances. Again, this is a charged issue, and I think that's why it's getting so much attention.
It's a charged issue, and as we've said already, what made this inflammatory was the fact that it was done on a map. And the map was made in a particular way such that you could get access to the personal information. That's where I begin to think about, you know, there's ethics of journalism, and I'm sure when you get a degree in journalism or a master's degree in journalism, you study that, right? I wonder where that fits over in our world. I mean, I have an undergraduate degree in geography, and I think we talked about ethics once. I also have a master's degree in geography, and I don't remember. I do know that there are ethics courses. I do know if you become a GISP, you have to sign an ethics statement. But are we really trained to walk through these kinds of things? And should we be in a position to advise? I'm asking a lot of questions, and I suspect that this small newspaper does not have a cartographer on staff or a trained geographer.
Well, let's just go to your issue of, you know, let's go back to the issue of, do we have a need to respond? I think if anything, we are at a point in the mapping profession that we are being looked at more and more because the tool of maps is being used more and more for various things, whether we go back to the issue of privacy because of location-based services or whether we're going to an issue such as this one. Maps are being used more and more. So if we respond as a profession, then we respond from the point of these are responsible or irresponsible uses of our technology, not necessarily of the data. And I think we're going to have to separate ourselves from the data, from the tools.
It's a fine line, but clearly it's something that we need to think about as these tools move from the hands of professionals to the hands of everyone, just like cameras have, for example. Right? Everybody's a journalistic photographer because their picture can get on CNN tomorrow.
It's a good point.
I'm not saying it's an easy one to solve, but yeah, I think it's another one of those many spatial literacy, geographic literacy discussions that we need to have within our field and without as we teach others about it.
Well, the issue of citizen journalist and citizen mapper is right before us. This is a perfect issue to bring that up.
It is. And maybe this will become one of those case studies in an ethics course in journalism and maybe even in geography, GIS. Before we wrap up this topic, I guess what I want to try to tease out is what can we learn from this incident and what can we try to change in any place along the way from the ownership of guns to the sharing of data to the publishing of data in certain visualizations as we move forward?
Well, I don't think the issue is going to go away. What it raises is the question of licensing and availability of guns. Now that we know where the guns are, will legislatures look at this and take action? Because this information is so front and center, it's been presented in a way that perhaps they hadn't taken a look at before. The NRA is going to weigh in. They're against making this information publicly available. They're going to have an impact. So I think policy probably will change. I think this is enough of an issue right now that we're going to see policy take a turn one way or the other. And if anything, I think maps should be there to illustrate some of the data that's available about gun ownership. So I think there will be changes.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing that I want to give kudos to the paper, which put the map up, did not take the map down, even though there were many calls for them to do so. They're under threat, and they're, in a sense, standing up for what they believe should be done in journalism today in 2013. Or, well, they published in 2012. And I think that's a good thing, and will probably even press more issues about how we share data, visualize data, and put that data in context. I think, again, that's what got people all riled up, was that context part. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to alert you that the deadline for submitting a presentation to Location Intelligence 2013 will be on February 1st. We're going to be talking about big data analytics and mobile location intelligence. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted, or you can send us a tweet @DirectionsMag. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.